Blog Talk Radio.
Nah, what's this?
Nigga, nigga, you start to come in, man.
Stop, man. It's over, man.
Shit, man.
Stop that nigga, son. That nigga too. Jake Love, son. Gangsta, DJ, nigga, son. You know that nigga, son. Listen, man.
In that jacuzzi, flashing like a Uzi blastin'. Much love for thugs, God bless B.I. Ashes. What up with Corp Mega? Live niggas keep actin'. The exhibition flexin', throw my extra clippin'. Chrome Bugatti BBS is checkin'. Niggas talkin' about how real they kept it on record. Screamin' out QBC, but don't rep it. And my brother's keeper or a faggot in love with Reaper. My far rock niggas are love to meet ya. Life's a bit, but shit gets deeper. Fuck gold chains and sneakers. I had that when cocaine was cheaper. Yo, who this fake nigga soundin' like me? You wanna be me, but can't see a thousand
this
like me.
I'm loungin'.
You're like rookies on housing. You see my team coming and your heart starts pounding. You shook, getting paid off the book. Nigga, jealous, my LS is off the hook. You see the legs, you fake ass thug, give me respect. Or be another nigga that my fucking heater wet. My poetry is manifest, the words be correct. My empire rise, now my enemies are vexed. Yo, nigga, you finish your Nas, you next. Let my little man, you know what I'm saying, Nas, nah, ain't nothing personal, it's all business, you know what I'm saying?
They love you,
let
nigga.
Let your little faggot ass man come at me. So my man got a few words he wanna say to you. Your son, man.
Nature, your fake hat. Try to be down and got your change.
Yeah, I took his shit.
Your little brother, take back. Now you a kid, megastar. Puff 100 stacks, intellects, LS. Doing on Escobars, but they too sweet. Earn my teeth, earn the one to be.
Only five
songs. QB, the desert storm. Some more exclusive. Check the new kid on the next hit. From the illest kicks, play the strip. With the whitest bricks. Humble from night to light. Now push the tightest shit.
J Love with the motherfucking house.
Airtight. Roll deep and wear air night. Some to scare, some to fear tight. While we rock mics and jam. Like Abby Cox twice. We running with the pretty boy. Bitches say that's not nice. Straight out the bridge. Mike DeLorean. Showbiz. If you wanna sign me, you can find me with a coke in.
I'm a nightmare, the street dreamers. Tell your whole crew with 22s. My dude's street sweepers. Prepared, never scared. Want to vote for flex. I'm ill, everything's real. Ain't no special effects. Yeah, bring the drama. I like the fucking trauma.
A
gladiator rocker still played the armor. Yeah. Want to step to me, you better bring a referee. My name is Mega, got niggas scared to death for me. Yeah, you mad ass, I'm like a Colombian refugee. Murder any nigga in sight, any day or night. You see me in a jet black Lexus, coke white, lounging on a hill. A nigga.
Yo, fuck with your Bongi fan, 007, man. Shout out to the whole fucking AFM. You got a special show tonight. I'm here with the Coles.
Growing, what's good?
My shit. All right, cool. All right, let me get right into the guest because I've been having to wait for that long. Hold on, I'm about to call him right now.
All right.
Oh, come on. Just talking to him. All right, cool. Give me 1 second, man.
All right.
Yo, I'm back with the guest from the hit web series 848, Antoine Inches Thomas. What's up, my G?
How you doing, good brother? Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
Most definitely. I got my co-host Wing on, too.
What's good? What's
when you
good?
Want?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Yeah, kind of old, but...
Say it again.
Okay. Hey, Antoine, you on speaker for you?
No, I'm not on speaker.
All right. We'll pass that then. But, yo, you about to bug out about this, B. I'm watching your, you know how your intro, you have all your books there?
Yeah.
It looked familiar as hell to me, and that's because they're in the goddamn closet because I read them already.
Oh, that's what's up. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that support. Word.
Yo, I'm tripping. I've been read your books. I just ain't know it was you. Man, you got some good writing skills, bro.
Oh, thank you very much.
So with that being said, let's get into who you are now, because now I'm really extra interested. I thought it was just 848, the web series, but now that I'm deep because I got your books here, let's just break this down if you don't mind me. All
right, so, you know, Antoine H. Thomas, the author first. I published my first book in 2004, which was Flowers Bed. That's what, you know, put me in the literary world alongside books like Be More Careful, True to the Game, Hustler's Wife, and Gangster. And from that moment, I started publishing more titles of my own. Then I said I'm going to start publishing other books from other people. So I did that for a little while. The recession hit around 2007, and then e-books became very popular. So e-books are trying to make paperbacks obsolete, but paperbacks are still sticking in there. In fact, I have a little small bookstore in Baltimore, Maryland, where I'll be moving my own books and other books that, you know, I cop wholesale or whatever. So I'm still in the literary world. And as an author, one of our goals is to see our work, you know, in a major motion picture. So that's where the idea of the web series came in, because I always had a vision of bringing something to the big screen. It wasn't until I'm watching Power. I'm loving Power. It was crazy. Then Empire came on. Empire was cool, but it wasn't as gritty as Power. And, you know, that's kind of like my style or whatever. But the way people were anticipating the next episode of Empire, even me and my family, we was like, I can't wait till next week. One day I'm sitting down. I was probably in like my 10th episode of Money and Violence. And I was enjoying Money and Violence, you know, Mo and Miz or whatever, they doing their thing. I was loving the show, but I said to myself, you know what? This platform right here, this YouTube thing, I may be able to bring some of my stories to light the same way these guys are doing it, because it's kind of simple. So I got the motivation from Power, Empire, and Money and Violence. And I said, I was thinking about turning one of my books into the joint. I said, you know what? Let me do something totally different, a whole different story. I ran into one of my mans who was doing some camera stuff. I said, yo, look, if I write this little web series, would you film it? Dude said, make me one of the main characters, and I got you. And from there, A48 was born.
Yo, that's crazy right there. So you started off with the, because most people, from most of the web series, I would think that Money and Violence blew up. Like, it just came out of nowhere, like, really took off. Mm-hmm. Now you see a lot of other web series. Let me ask you that. How do you keep 848 original to the point that it's not like, okay, or they're just trying to be like this web series or this web series? Let me ask you that. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, was Money and Violence at the Spec Life first? I watch all these web series.
Well, Money and Violence was definitely first. When we were filming 848, we tried to film for about 6 to 8 months before we released anything, so we would have enough material where we could release consistently every week. I didn't want to do the bi-weekly. I didn't want to be stalled by anything. I wanted to go week by week, so we were patient. But while we were working, I remember we was on like episode 4, and a gentleman had come into the store where we were filming at in the Bronx, and he was like, yo, you know, there's another web series coming up. They're out of Brooklyn. I think the joint is called Respect Life. But dude don't have a script. He's just kind of going off the top of the head. He don't have it written down like you guys. But the joint is coming out dope. You know, you should check out for that. Check that. So when like a month went by, I had typed it in to look for the trailer. And I was like, yo, this shit sounded kind of dope. You know, I'm going to check this out because I'm a supporter of them as well. And then they may have started releasing some episodes before we did. I'm not sure. But we still had our release date. We started in December of 2014. And we released the first episode in June of 2015. So we filmed for about 6 months before we released the first joint.
I remember you was telling me, I remember you made the post on Respect Life Group, and I was like, I've been watching from season one. Just some of the acting I said threw me off that time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard to be an actor without taking acting classes and whatnot?
I think we get used to it. So in season one, that was our first time being in front of a camera. And we had no idea how we looked, what type of job we was doing, or anything. And once the camera guy, who's also one of the stars named Pretty, he was like, yo, I'm watching y'all. Y'all niggas are trash. I'm like, what you mean? He's like, yeah, y'all talking too fast. Y'all look nervous. We need to lighten up a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you guys how you look. Take a deep breath before we speak. You know, take a pause, do this, do that. And he said, I think maybe by like episode 2 or 3, we'll get a little better. So we started taking our time and, you know, just trying to do a little bit better. But, yeah, we didn't have any acting coaches. No one was able to tell us what to do or how to do it. We would just watch other movies. We wasn't watching web series to compare. We went to watch movies because they were so much better, and we said we wanted to be like that or like the movie, which is why we did a lot of focusing on our special effects. We said that's going to be one of the things that's going to make us a little different. Even when we watch Money and Violence, their second season, which was had a better budget and better camera, and they should have had better special effects, but something as minor as Muzzle Flash, it wasn't up to par as it should be. I'm not saying we have the best, but from what I see, I think ours was a little more detailed when it came to the some of the special effects, like the Muzzle Flash, and maybe even some of the gunshot sound effects. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, some of this stuff is free. I don't know, you know, who did it or whatever, but it didn't take anything away from the show. I just expected better from them because their production, they had a couple more dollars than everybody else, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Anton, like now from where you guys started, 2 years ago actually, to now, like you were saying, you weren't really watching the other web series. Are you kind of, how are you critiquing as you grow, as you build? Because I will say that the plots are great. Like season two had me on edge and everything, but the acting has gotten better. But it's still what are you doing to kind of grow as you continue on?
All right. Well, just to clarify, I do watch the other web series. I watch all of them for entertainment purposes. But we try to watch movies to try to better our story, our effects, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as far as us acting, you know, we had to incorporate a lot of people in order to pull the show off because one of our main things was a lot of murders or whatever. And so we had to bring in a lot of people. And it really wasn't, I wasn't stressing how good they were acting, except when it came for them to die. I said, well, just die really good if you can. But when it came to the main cast, the main characters, the six of us, which is myself, Benny, Nitty, Pretty, Ty Banger, 2-5, and Egypt, it was really, you know, up to them to kind of do their best. They felt that they were good enough. I felt it was decent enough for the platform that we were on. But I think if we were filming more, see, we was only filming on the weekends. I would come up on certain weekends. When I came up to film, I would film like 4 or 5 scenes, which may be 4 or 5 episodes worth. So I got to bring a whole bunch of clothes.
Oh, wow.
We got to go to a bunch of different locations. And because I wrote every line of the show, I would have to memorize everything for every scene. And sometimes it would be a little difficult. It was a little bit easy because I'm the one who wrote it, so I have an idea what I was speaking about. But to have all of that information jumbled in my brain, at times it would be a little difficult. But I really did wish that we had some acting coaches that can kind of give us some key points to say, hold on, when you do this, do that. You may need to move your head around a little bit. You know, when you finish speaking, move a little bit so it seemed like it's real and it's natural. I think if we would have went improv, it would have definitely came off more natural because we would have been speaking naturally. But I think when they're trying to, they memorize some lines and I tell them the emotion that I want out of it. So they, in their mind, they're saying, I have to remember what it is I'm saying. That may be like a little block of them being natural because they worried about saying the lines as opposed to worrying about being relaxed.
I know in season one you used to be talking a lot. It makes sense now, you being an author and whatnot now. So but in season two I feel like you fell back some from that. Was there a reason for that?
I think it was the storyline. I wanted to kind of give the adversaries more shine than we had because I didn't want to make it seem like our team was invincible. That would have made things seem a little bit kind of fake. Like even my character, when my character got shot in episode 4 of season 1, people was like, damn, how dude get a headshot and he survived? But the way I set it up, and I guess because of our amateur cameras, the focus was a little off. I was actually looking at my phone and I was taking a selfie. So I was supposed to see the shooter behind me, the guy ghost behind me, and I jumped a little bit and then the gun was supposed to go off. So it kind of grazed me, but hit me hard enough to knock me out. So there was like a lot of detail when it, from a writer's perspective, I could have wrote that in a novel and that could have been in a narration and it could have explained things. So that's how I wrote it. when I was doing the script, like, all right, I'm going to lean up. He's going to graze me a little bit. But you can't tell that in a movie or film. You have to just kind of show it. So we weren't, like, you know, too perfect on everything. So it was kind of a little hard. And, you know, people were asking, like, what's going on? Like, why did that happen? How did he survive? So there was a lot of things that we were trying to figure out as we went along. And we didn't have any coaches. We didn't have anybody. There was a lot of the other web series. Some people don't want to share information. They're not too friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their reasons are, that's cool, which is why I wanted to be a little different. Just like our storyline was a little different. We're from a different borough.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something different. People seem like they're ashamed to reach out to people. I figured if I'm the boss man, let me go holler at Silver Dollar from Home of the Hitters. Let me reach out to Reek from Mayhem. Let me reach
mm-hmm.
out to the twins who are also in Home of the Hitters, but they got their new show. So when I reached out to them, everybody was open arms. I didn't get to make it out to Jersey to do the scene with Mayhem, but we did have it planned. And my reason for that was just to show some of the viewers and the aspiring web series makers, look, we are cool with each other. We can get along. It's not really us that be beefing. It be the fans that be making it seem like we're beefing with each other. And I feel like Hollywood, to some point, they're paying attention to what's going on. They're like, wow, there's a lot of views. People are talking, you know, because a lot of hip-hop artists, rappers and all that. I remember Kanye and them, when they was doing a film with Dame Dash, when they would take a break, they would watch 848, the first season. And I was like, wow, you know, celebrity dude like Kanye watching. So my man who was filming with them, I said he used to watch the whole episode, and he was cool with it. He was like, yo, he liked the joint. So whether it's somebody like Kanye, or I just got off the phone with somebody who had some dealings with some of the people from Empire and all that, and they want us to come up in a couple of weeks and, you know, sit down and talk about some things. They've been watching it. They know about all of the web series. And what the guy said was, which was interesting, I had an idea about it, but he made it made more sense when he confirmed it. He said all of these web series out here right now, they kind of doing basically the same thing. He said the only one that did something different was season 2 of Money and Violence. He said they didn't do a whole bunch of shooting up front. They let the story build. He said that's what Hollywood or Netflix wants. They don't want random shootings. And he was pointing out random shootings that we did in 848. He was like, well, why did this happen? This happened and that happened. And I said, well, remember, the perspective that we have on things is like we're a mixtape, so we got to get it popping on this platform. Once we do something bigger, once our name is strong enough, because that's what the viewers want. My viewers, which are primarily women, they'd be like, yo, nah, we want some killing. You need to pop his head off. You need to do this. You need to do that. And because I listened to them, like I listened to them when I was writing my book, I said I need to cater to them. Like the guy said, he said, look, you may need to sacrifice your first baby. You may need to give A48 up to get in the door. Once you're in there, you do what you want. But you can't tell people how to run their house when you're outside their door. So get in. We're going to see if I can get you in. And once you're in, maybe we could change the story up a little bit. I'm not saying the entire story, but you don't need a lot of randomness. Don't shoot somebody every 2 minutes. Shoot them every 10 minutes.
Anton,
I peeped that. You're right. I noticed that Egypt is, I know Egypt and the girl from Project Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of her name right now. But
Toya. Her name is Toya on the show. Like, yeah, Toya on the show.
Yeah, Toya, dark skin one, Toya. So I seen them together. I was like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? That's Egypt and everything. So it's just like I see like y'all are collabing and whatnot. That's dope right there. I think.
Yeah, there was another web series. Drew came straight up at me. Another web series out of Brooklyn. He was like, yo, A48 is popping. My show is not. Can y'all be in my show? Absolutely. I don't know if it made a difference, but we ended up gaining some new friends, new relationships by, you know, building with them. And the same thing happened with Project Heat. Project Heat thing was kind of, it was a funny situation. They're cool dudes, but we had seen that they had aired something in their show, a clip from one of our shows. And I think it was them paying homage. But we didn't know about it. So when I was, you know, I watched the show, I watched it. I was like, damn, that's one of our clips. And I hit pop up. I said, yo, good looking, showing us some love, you know, showing our projects in there. And he was like, yo, I'm going to call you back. So when they called, he was like, yo, nah, I was just showing some love. It was a cool clip or whatever, whatever. And he was like, yo, what up? You know, maybe we could do something. So even with Project Heat, we now have a relationship with them. So whenever we need, if I come out to Brooklyn, I need like a helping hand with something, or I need some of the actors or whatever, I reach out. Interestingly, there's a gentleman doing the web series. I don't want to put his name out there because he's kind of funny style, but he's doing the web series. And I offered him, a lot of people don't offer, I offered him help. Look, if you need me, I'm here. If you need some of my actors, they're here. They want to spread their wings a little bit. Nah, I ain't messing with nobody. I'm good. All right. Do your thing, brother. I was going to say, I think the unity, sorry about cutting you off, I think what I'm trying to emphasize is unity, because for so long, so many years, even in the book industry, there's so much division. Even at the workforce, the regular workforce, we have jobs that may be predominantly white people, and you have a couple of token black people. Some of the black people don't even stick together. So I feel like whenever I have opportunity to show some type of unity, I'm going to do so. So when I put Silver Dollar and them up on the screen in our season finale, it was just to show, look, we can do something together. And we here. Yeah. We don't have no egos on this show. Nobody's worrying about who's getting money or whatever. We all work. We all got families. We're just trying to do something together. So maybe if Hollywood comes to holler at us, because I've seen this in the book world, if Hollywood come to holler at us and we all on the same page, then we'll probably all benefit in a decent way and probably the same way. So let's just say Title came to Money and Violence for whatever amount. And then another platform comes to 848 and say, look, we're willing to give y'all $2,500 for y'all show. And let's say we were thirsty. I bet. Give us $2,500. Now, that's where the standard may be. So now these people are saying, well, what's the name? 848 was a good show. They took $2,500. That's what we're giving up. Nah, but if we all unified and we all communicating with each other and we say, yo, look, what's the name wanted to give us $2,500? But old boy and them want to give up $50,000. So for now on, if somebody come at us, let's say we're all going to say $50,000 or we're not taking it. And I think if we work together, we'll be able to dominate a lot of the industry.
That's dope right there.
What'd you
Maddie
say?
What'd
you
say? Go ahead, Wayne.
Would you say that Money and Violence kind of already set the precedence? I would think, like you said, being unified and just kind of seeing what they were already able to do, do you think that kind of already sets the precedence of what could happen and kind of if we all stick together, we can get there too, if that's even the option?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't see behind the scenes is, again, with the division, some of these people, like we have these Facebook groups, and some people be beefing to the point where some of the stuff turns to threats. And some people don't even know who the people are. You may go to a venue, somebody walk up on you, yo, dog, remember you was beefing with me? And then some type of drama or an incident could pop off that's unnecessary. So I'm trying to alleviate all of that. But most importantly, if we're together, when these people do come at us with situations that they already came to Money and Violence with, if we all on the same page, we could probably look out for one another. So what I told myself is every time an opportunity comes to me, I'm going to refer them to every other web series that I know. We just did an interview with a guy. He had a situation called Blow It Up TV. Right after the interview, I said, yo, we just work with The Brooklyn Way, Home of the Hitters, Five Boroughs, Two Life, Mayhem. Whenever you want to do an interview with more people, holler at those four. They are with it. That's what I plan on doing, stuff like that.
Okay. Well, Mayhem is popping, too. I fucks with Mayhem heavy.
Man, I love Mayhem,
We had Driz up here, too. You know what I'm saying? I fucks with Mayhem, man. They got their shit popping out there in Jersey.
No question. The other joint, too, that's popping is Lame. I love that. You know, the cinematography on that joint was so
I
dope.
Like them.
And the storyline. But the guy who did it is a white boy.
Wow.
He's a white boy.
Yeah, he's a white boy. Yep. His name is Miles Dixon or something like that. And he got a deal immediately. And it had nothing to do with how dope the show was. It had everything to do with who he knew. So, their views are decent. But at the time he got the deal, their views were low. And he got a deal with something called Brick TV. It's spelled BRIC TV. That channel, once he got on there, his number shot up like another 100,000 in like a week.
Wow.
But he was a white boy. He had connections. He was doing a film festival thing. The thing I respect so much about Money and Violence, them dudes went so hard. Everything that they have right now, they deserve it. They was going state to state, city to city, promoting their stuff. They was out in the trenches and the streets promoting. They did everything. They went super duper hard. And so they definitely deserve what they have coming to them. Absolutely.
Nah. Yeah, most definitely. Do you watch Target?
I watched it in the beginning. I didn't know where the location was, but I knew that they was dealing in one little small location. You had the one guy, he was trying to pit everybody against each other.
Murder.
All right, Murder, yeah. So I watched some of the episodes in the beginning. Then when I started, it was so many coming on, I was getting, like, confused with different ones. So I watched maybe 15 web series, 20, something like that.
We had the same page, bro. I'm trying to keep up with all y'all joints.
Yeah, that's what's up. There's one that only has 4 episodes, and it's one of the best web series out. I mean, it's supposed to have more, but it doesn't. It's called Old Head out of Philly.
You know what's crazy? Got put on to that. Just like last week, I just got put on to that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know what happened. The storyline is really good. Drops a lot of jewels. I think a lot of the young gentlemen out there in the street now, they can relate to it. You know, young brothers just in the hood, and they feel like that's the only thing that they have. And then you have that older brother in the hood who's not that much older. And he's trying to tell a young boy, yo, you don't need this. And the young boys are just straight disrespectful. Get up out my face, old head. They end up giving them the business and all that. But, you know, that's how it is. I'm out here living in Baltimore. And the last few shootings, maybe the last 20 shootings, everybody was under 17 years old. The shooters and the victims. So there's definitely an epidemic. I don't know necessarily what it has to do with. Absolutely. The big picture has to do with finances, the jobs and the no community centers, you know, giving the young brothers something to do to keep their minds occupied in a positive manner. But the people up in Washington, they don't really care about that. They thinking about the war and how much money they can generate from the war so that their kids are cool, their kids are living in the suburbs, and they'll never have to worry about walking through the project. They just kind of forgot about us. And what I learned doing this project is when all of the actors come back to me and they say, yo, thank you so much for the opportunity. I never thought I could be an actor. I always thought that it was only for white people when they go to Hollywood. But you know what? You inspired me. Now I want to do so much more in my life because this was a goal that I thought was impossible, but I did it. So now I'm going to strive for so much more. Those little conversations or those little text messages or inbox, they mean so much to me.
Well, that's dope because you're giving people content to watch on YouTube, and it's just like fire content. And I definitely see that you're an avid fan of the First 48, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go hard with them laws up in there.
Oh yeah. 48 Laws of Power.
I said the First 48. I'm tripping. The 48 Laws of Power. Do you have all his books? The Art of War, The Art of Seduction.
No, I don't have all of Robert's joints. In fact, I don't even own the 48 Laws of Power. Now, I read it, and I read some of the powers, but when I was away in prison, there's a little trick that I picked up. Now, a lot of people, a lot of black people don't like reading. A lot of men don't like reading. So when we started writing those hood novels, there was a lot of criticism. People said that the books were talking about nothing but violence. They were poorly written, unedited, all kind of backlash to discourage people to stop writing. Now, when I was in the spot, there was a lot of, and this is just a lack of a better word, not to disrespect anybody, but there was a lot of idiots and dummies in there, right, who wasn't reading. Their conversation was, like, so poor. It was like their vocabulary was real minimal. All they knew was son, suck my joint, mother effer this, mother effer that. People weren't going to school. Their GED test scores were extremely low. And I'm like, damn, you know what? The more we read, the better our comprehension becomes. Here it is. You hear the word, but you don't know what the word is. You don't know how to use it. So when you're reading a sentence and it's being described in a sentence or it's being used in the correct text in a sentence, now you know what the word means. What I started doing was I used to read a lot, and then every time I got a book, I would pass a book out after I read it to one of the young brothers that wasn't really into reading. And I said, yo, this story is similar to where you're from. Maybe you should read this. There might be some streets in there that you're familiar with. Or maybe you know some of the people. Whatever I had to do to get them to start reading. They'll take the book, a 200-page book, which for me might take 4 hours. It would take them 2 weeks. And then I give them another book that takes a week and a half. Then another book, a week. And I noticed that at least 50% of the young brothers that I was giving the books to, when it came time for them to take the GED test again, they did even better because now they were enhancing their vocabulary and bringing up their comprehension skills from these books that they were so attached to because it sounds so familiar. So, you know, some of those tactics, when I came home, I said, you know what? My son doesn't want to listen to me, but he listens to Chief Keef. So I bring in a Chief Keef album. We listen to that for a little while. Now me and him jamming. And I say, yo, what's good? What's on your mind? Now he starts opening up. So I realize I have to come on their level just to build, to open up first. And then once I have them, then I bring them up to my level.
That's ill right there.
So it's the same thing with the web series. You speak about the 48 laws of power. Some of them be like, damn, I wonder how deep, how much deeper is that 48 law? And people who never even read the book, they walk up to me and start reciting the laws. Yo, guess what? Law number 8, make your enemy come to you. And I'm like, all right, that's what's up. But they may even be more intrigued and say, let me go pick that book out. Let me go pick it up and see what's up.
And they go back in history and show how it was used and whatnot. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely a fire book. I can't lie about that. I think all of his books are good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, hey, any other books that that you really rock with? Robert Goins is a fire author.
I mean, Donald Goins.
Donald Goins.
He's one of the best. When I first started writing my book, I went to his book to look at the structure of it. And I was like, you know what? This book was written years ago, but it's written very well. Either he had some extraordinary editors back then, or he was a really good writer. So I kind of use his stuff to help, you know, format some of my stories and structure some of my stories. But he has... Nowadays, anybody can become an author right now. You can be sitting right wherever you are, write a little story, purchase a book cover from somebody online, upload it to Amazon, set your price, and you will be an author tonight. I think there's pros and cons to that. There's pros because everybody can call themselves an author, feel good about themselves, have some high self-esteem, a dope sense of well-being. Yes, I put something out. However, there used to be a standard for that. You used to have to send your first 5 chapters in. If the first 5 chapters were compelling, they'll ask for the rest of the book. If the rest of the book is dope, you become, you know, they start negotiating a contract. But here it is nowadays, people can put out some trash that nobody looked over except their homeboy or their aunt who's crazy hood, and she's like, yeah, Sonny, your book is dope. Meanwhile, it's 5 million grammatical errors. The story then lost its course throughout the story. There's no plot. All they have is a decent-looking cover with one of the most ratchet names that they can come up with, Dude in the Hood, and his girl is in the hood. That'd be a title. And people jump on it.
Right.
And I think the same thing even with the web series. People are, I tell people to don't rush. Take your time. But everybody's like, no. I remember there was like 2 web series that came out in the beginning of this year, and they told me, yo, the only reason why I rushed because Money and Violence was coming out and I wanted to come out with them. Bruh, nobody dropped when Jay-Z dropped. Everybody falls back. What are you doing competing with Money and Violence? Are you crazy?
Make no sense.
It doesn't. We just have to find our lane, get in it, and stay in it. So we're 848. We from the Bronx. We are going to be drug dealers. We're going to be a nice little drug empire. We're going to have our adversaries. Overall, we're going to be, you know, the main go-hard dudes, but we're going to have some little bumps and bruises. We're going to have some mishaps. We're going to have a few weaknesses here and there, but ultimately we're going to triumph. So that was our story. When it came to season 2, I took the formula that I use when I write my books. When I write my books, I write my main character's name. Then I draw about 4 or 5 circles around it. I write one circle, then another circle will be a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. I have 5 circles. On each one of those circles, I write something that I want to be an element of that character outside of the, uh-huh. the whatever his story is. So I say, I write the word education, and I say, he's going to have some issues with education, but it's not going to be typical issues. So if he may be a drug dealer that can't read, but he can't read because he can't really see. He needs glasses. And he was ashamed to wear glasses. And so he'll sneak somewhere and always, you know, put on his glasses, but he started losing his sight or something like that. I'll make it a little bit complicated. Then I'll do health. I'll say he may not have the health issue, but maybe his mother died because when the father came from the military, they cut off all his benefits, and he was the one taking care of his wife, couldn't afford the medicine, and that's why she died, which makes the kid a little more upset when it comes to law enforcement. That's why he keeps blowing their heads off.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to make things just a little bit deeper. Now, again, we can get very deep when it comes to the books. I was a pro at that. I'm trying to get better and better when it comes to writing these screenplays. So as I'm writing Flowers Dead, which is my best-selling novel, as I'm writing that now into screenplay, I haven't read the book in so long, but I'm looking, I'm like, damn, yo, I was actually a dope writer. This is a really, really good story. It's just, you know, you have to pull out certain things because when you're writing a screenplay, a movie, it can only be 120 standard pages because each page is supposed to equal 1 minute. But yet when we write in these novels, I mean, I probably can turn the screenplay into like 300 pages, but I have to pick out the most important stuff because the substance in my book Flowers Bed dealt with women and rape and molestation, and all of this is happening in the beginning. Like, so far I haven't taken anything out. I'm like still going straight through with it. A little bit of dialogue I done removed, but I knew it was important to have those first few chapters to snatch the reader from the jump. And I'm in the beginning now, and I'm like, and I'm re-snatched myself into the story, and I'm like, wow. I think people ask me, how do I feel about using my own daughter in that show? My daughter's 16, and she's going to be the main character who's going to be the one dealing with the molestation. And
wow.
She's going to have a boyfriend on there. You know, as fathers, we kind of uncomfortable with our young, our daughters messing with guys. But in the story, she's going to have to.
Mothers, too.
And I'm like, you know, just trying to, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to prepare myself mentally. But me and my wife, we kind of like, well, look, how are we going to do the rape scene? Or how are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? And I want everything to be classy. I don't want it to be trashy. I've seen a couple of web series where it looked like dudes are actually having sex. When this is not porn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why we try to do the scenes in our show a little bit classy. We don't want anybody to feel embarrassed. Or I don't want to compromise, you know, because some of these people are parents. The girl Egypt, she has two sons, and they watch the show. We don't want them to look at their mothers like, well, Mom, what you doing with this guy kind of thing. So we asked her how far is she willing to go, what is she willing to do. Even the young lady Moon, she did the scene with her real husband,
I was gonna
but she
say
still
that.
Was like, no, Mom. Yeah, she said my family watches it, and Moon is from the Dominican Republic. They have a different culture. A lot of things can be sensitive to them, so... I had to take all of that in consideration when I was writing it. In fact, when I wrote it, I asked her, I said, hey, we just want to show, like, your shoulders up, from the shoulder to the neck. You're going to be laying down. The camera's going to be beside you. It's only going to show your shoulder up to your head. And if Nitty's, you know, doing whatever, his face is going to disappear, and it's going to seem like he might be doing something extra down below. And she was like, I don't know, my mother.
Right.
I'm like, oh, man. But, you know, we had to consider it. It ended up working out.
Right.
Yo, I was
going to
say
that.
That's kind of crazy.
When we did use Pretty for the cancer thing, you know, his mom's had passed from cancer.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, I want to write some subject. I want to talk about one of the illnesses. I said, Respect Life, they have the HIV. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Cancer is prevalent in our community, but it affects men, and we never talk about it. So I want to talk about it with a guy. So I did a little bit of research, the kind that was that most men be catching, and I'm like, yo,
prostate.
I want to know, can you cry on film for real? Get a prostate, and he was like, yeah. I said, you know, is it okay though? Because I don't want you thinking about your moms. And he was like, nah, I'm good. So when that episode aired, I was crying. My wife was next to me crying. You know, we had the tears because it was so emotional. I had people posting on the page, yo, son, I'm a straight hood nigga, I'm a gangster. That shit teared me up, man. The way dude and his daughter, you know what I'm saying? Yo, that was real. And then the character himself, Pretty, he said the next morning he had about 100 inboxes of people who had cancer, and they was asking him how he dealt with it because it came up so real, they thought he really had it. And he was like, yo, man, it's kind of tough talking to some of these people because some of them, they want to give up. And he really didn't know what to say.
Damn.
Even with Flowers Bed, the Flowers Bed book, my first 100 emails, because when I put it out, that's all we were communicating with, was emails. My first 100 emails were young ladies who said they had been, you know, they had been molested by a cousin or a brother or a father. And then it even struck up conversation in my own home with people, with stuff that happened to my sisters and my brother, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, wow, I didn't know the situation. I was just trying to write a hood book with some substance, but I didn't know all the people were affected by, you know, molestation or sexual harassment or whatever.
Mm.
You know, especially from inside the home. I always thought it would happen, like, at a babysitter's house. But nah, people's fathers and cousins. It's usually
like
the people
cousins
that
and uncle.
You grow up around.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I even had one young lady who told me, yo, it's still happening to me. And I'm like, damn, I'm from the streets. It's kind of difficult to say, won't you tell somebody, because it sounds like I'm trying to tell them to snitch. But, you know, I wasn't in the streets anymore. And when it comes to something like that, I think the no snitching comes from, if two people are in the street doing street shit, one of them shouldn't be telling on the other one because you're doing something illegal. Now, for civilians, you do what you want. But when it comes to, like, you know, somebody getting raped and all that, I think if we're not going to handle it on our own, might as well leave that up to the authorities. So the young lady was telling me that it was still happening. I'm like, you know, why don't you tell somebody? And she was like, nah, like, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. And I don't know what's going on today with her, but that's a lot of people's story today. It's happening to people right now.
Yeah.
And they, most people are embarrassed to talk about it. And when it, my second book, which is called Black Roses, the sequel to Flowers Bed, it talks about a male who got molested. Males, almost 100% of the time, never talk about it because they're associated with homosexuality. No straight man wants to say, when I was younger, my uncle was having sex with me. But they take that to the grave with them, always. And a lot of times, how we are when we are adults, that came from what we were when we were children. Whether we were neglected at home, the mother and father was always out, working, trying to keep a roof over our head, and we kind of raised ourselves. We may either become independent or we become resentful. We start wilding out, and all the kids are like, well, damn, you have everything. You got the BMX bike. You got Timberlands when they came out. You get the big goose-down coat. Why are you being such a badass? And they don't realize that he didn't even have anyone to raise him because the mother was out trying to get him all this good shit. Yeah. I didn't mean to take over you know, the interview. Y'all are supposed to ask all the questions. My bad.
Oh, no, it's really good information. Everything is really good information. You know, and I wanted to back to the web series as far as, well, this finale. What's next for A48? Because the way it's looking, it's like everybody's kind of going their separate ways. Benny is dying off. I mean, we will have a season 3, though, right?
Yeah, we will absolutely have a season 3. But what I wanted to do was, because of some of the contacts that I made with season 2, I was starting to take the business side of things a little bit more serious than I was. At first, it was like a hobby. Let's do the web series, get our name out there, whatever. But I was in talks with somebody who had a lot of pull with the Redbox. And the guy told me that he couldn't shop a web series and put it in the red box because it was too big. It was too much content. If I had a movie, he would be able to work with me. So right now, what we're going to do is the Flowers Bed movie, the first book, and then we're going to do the second book. My goal is to, with the first book, is when that becomes a movie, the day we put it out, 365 days from that day, I'm hoping to have 1 million views. If I have 1 million views as a movie, it garners the attention of people in the film industry. So at that point, I feel like I would be able to negotiate the second movie, which is the second part of the book. That's my goal. That's my realistic goal. And then we're going to come with season 3. So when it's time for me to come and sit down at the table, I can tell the people, look, I have novels, I have web series, and a half movement. You got to pick one of them.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. Yeah. You can't rock with this, then rock with this over here.
Absolutely.
Oh,
some people can and some people can't. The guy I was talking to today, he can rock with a series. The people from Redbox, they can only do movies. So I figure if I go over here and they don't want it, I go over here and see if they want this, then.
Hey, are you in the midst of writing the book now? Or are you too come up for the website?
Well, no, the book is already written, Flowers Dead. I'm converting it into screenplay right now. I started a few days ago. I want to be able to start filming by November and probably be complete by February and then come up with a date. But the difference between the movie and the web series, we made a few mistakes and we let it slide. We didn't have a lot of time filming. We were rushing sometimes. And we would let things slide. Like if somebody see their reflection in a car window, don't worry about it. It's a web series. People ain't going to say anything. When it comes to this movie, I told my director, my man Pretty, no mistakes, zero when it comes to this project. If we have to do one scene, 3 weeks for it to get right, which is why a lot of movies take so long, 2 years to do one movie. And you're like, damn, they there every day. But they be working sometime one scene of one scene on one day. They'd be 8 hours just trying to do somebody swinging on a rope. Until they get that rope swing correct, they will not move. That's what I want to do with Flowers Bed.
Now, I was going to say, for example, so had like 100,000 views in one day, and they took it down, and we did it. I was talking to Bone P, and the reason why is because of that. It's because during one of the scenes, you could kind of see Melanie, but you wasn't supposed to.
Okay.
And he was also the same shit you was, man. Like, he could have let it slide, like, man, it's a web series, whatever, man. But he was like, nah, I don't want to do it like that. I want it perfect. So they reshot it, and that's the reason why they had to take that one down and re-upload it. And only got 40,000 views, but he was like, I'll take the loss. Mm-hmm. And I want no one, you know what I mean? You don't want no sloppy, I feel you coming.
Perfection.
Absolutely. And, well, sometimes, like, I know I saw Respect Life, the character Tariq, sometimes he holds the camera. And, of course, when our guy Pretty is in front of the camera, somebody else is holding it. But I think Mello and Tariq, they're like the only ones who do it on our show. It's pretty much who's available. So when you're filming and you have the camera in front of you, you can't see. If you're standing in front of a car and you're looking at the screen on the camera, you can't tell that you can see yourself in the car. But the people outside can tell. So sometimes it takes a couple of set of eyes for somebody to say, I remember we was filming a scene where in the finale, Nitty walked up to the young lady who was in the van and got the intel on the female cop chicks, their addresses and all that. The first time we did the scene, they were standing in front of the van that had all the windows, and you could see the cameraman. I said, nah, move over a little bit. So we went, like, in the frame of the car. You could still see it. I said, you know what? Why don't we just move all the way up in front of the car? So, but Pretty was behind the camera. He didn't even realize it. So, you know, it's kind of important where you stand in. I've seen a couple of web series where they might be in a restaurant and or a barbershop where there's a bunch of mirrors, which is, you know, kind of dangerous when it's filming. And I've seen, like, the reflection. I'll be like, oh, look at the dude right there. Or somebody have on sunglasses and you can see the reflection in the sunglasses. You have to be real careful and real particular about a lot of stuff when you're filming because you can get caught over here. Like you said, Boom made a decision to take the thing down because he wants perfection. Nothing wrong with that.
With flower beds, with the flower beds movie, how much, like you said, you want to, this has to be done perfectly. Will you bring like consulting in, like try to find acting coaches for this, like because of how sensitive the material is going to be, like you said, bringing your daughter in. You know, you want to be able to get into those moments. Will you have something like that for the movie?
I haven't considered that, but I'm very open-minded now that you said that. I know, again, my director, Pretty, he's done some work on some film, and, you know, as we're going along now with the 848, I'm getting a lot of phone calls from a lot of people who are connected. So, yeah, if I can bring somebody on, well, my sister and her husband, they be on, they be playing extras in Law and Order a lot, and they be giving me little tips or whatever. But that's just to me. You know, I don't give it to everybody else. I feel like they, you know, they watch themselves, and some of them be confident. Now I'm good. I got this. I got this. So it's kind of like, all right, do your thing. But again, for the web series, some things were allowed to slide when it comes to the movie. Yeah, if I could get a hold of some people, some coaches or something who can help out, I'm with it. I'm confident in my daughter. You know, she does some some stuff in school, so she's kind of a little already hit, and she has some experience. But it's the other people that I'm bringing on. Another thing you might find interesting. You ever watch Tyler Perry when he's doing his movies or his plays? He kind of uses the same people, but in a different play, they have a different character, or they play a different, you know, person. And even in movies, we might see the same old black actors, Omar Epps or Anthony Anderson. And we're like, damn, I know it's more people. Like even Amari Hardwick. I saw him in some movies in the past, and I'm like, dude, it's kind of I haven't seen him yet in more of Hollywood. And then years later, boom, he's in Power. What happens is, just like with regular people, you have some actors that are unreliable. They are unprofessional. They are inconsistent. And they just some total trash. But they may be able to act, which is why they got the job. Same thing when it comes to the web series. You'll see in some web series, some actors, they stick around longer than others. And you're like, damn, what happened? It could have been the attitude. It could have been scheduling. They just can't be around long enough. And Ace 48, episode one, the guy Perico, cool brother. He's the one who sing the theme song. I wanted him around longer, but he said, yo, I'm working, and I can't take off like that. So, you know, you might have to knock me off early. All right, no problem with that.
So, man, you know what, I'm in control. I wanted to ask you that. Like, how do you go about that, about killing people?
Say it again?
I mean, it got to be hard to, you know what I mean, because no longer a part of the series no more. So, is there any issues with that?
Well, not, because when people come in, I tell them straight up, I say, I show most of the characters except for the main cast, but most of the characters, you guys don't have a long life. So if you don't want to be a part of it, you don't have to, but you never know who's watching. So whether it's 30 seconds in the show, an entire episode, or three episodes, whatever you make it to, whatever the little bit that you perform, just do your best, because people are going to remember your best. Just do your best. Yeah. You never know. So there was one guy in season one. He had got sniped by Pretty's character. And the way we pulled that off was he had his phone on him. You know, obviously all of the guns and all the bullets and everything is fake. So he's not going to hear a gunshot or anything. So we're like, how do we tell him when to fall? So look, when you hear your phone ring, jerk your head back and drop. He had nothing to fall on, nothing to brace himself, nothing. And he did that thing perfect. That was one of the best deaths. Hear his phone ring, jerk his head back, and fall straight down and don't move.
That's crazy right there.
Yeah, it is. So, nah, but some people want to, you know, and I try to be professional about it. I'm like, yo, son, you dying. I say, get the hell off the set. I'm like, yo, look, this is what's going to happen. This is my goal for the show. You're going to be around for a few episodes, but not the entire thing. And they'd be like, all right, I'm with it. Just, you know, just hold me down. I even had a situation where I don't tolerate drugs or drinking on the show. And a gentleman came through and he was wasted. And I was like, bro, you a good dude. I want you to hang around, but I can't be doing this. Like, I can't cut no slack because it's going to keep happening again. And he was like, well, how about you do this? How about you at least kill me off with some dignity? Like, let me have a good – because I was just going to – just dead about the show and nobody wouldn't have saw him anymore. But it's important, every element, even when I'm watching, whether it's Respect Life, Money and Violence, or Power, every person that they introduced for a reason. They're going to come back some way, somehow. We're watching Power right now. The little son, Tyreek, the first time he spazzed out, the first time he brought the gun to class, that was his first incident of rebellion. Then he kind of spazzed out on his mother, Tasha. She grabbed him. He jerked back. She was wilding, and then he kind of pokes his chest out to Ghost. That's three times he wilded out. Now he's under Kanan. Kanan gassing him up. Shorty gonna pop off, guarantee. I don't know if it's gonna be to save his father's life, shoot Kanan or something, or if he's gonna shoot Ghost or do something. But that was all a build up. That very first time he brought that gun to school, I knew it was about something. So So that's what we have to do, even with the web series. You have to be careful. Bring somebody in for something. It has to connect to something else at the end. You just don't want to leave it loose.
I see. All right, that's what it is. But, yo, Antoine, man, we definitely wish you luck. I'm going to get you back up here soon. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to get you up here. I know it's your first home here, but we cover web series a lot. So I definitely want to be in touch with you, bro.
Thank you very much for having me, y'all. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? Hey, as for your shop that sells books in Baltimore, I mean, anyway, how do people buy your work, basically?
Well, you can go on Amazon. You can look up Antoine Inch Thomas. You'll see all of the books that I have. And my bestseller, which is called Flowers Bay. I'm currently transforming that into a film. I have The Flowers Bed, the sequel to it, which is called Black Roses, No Regrets, Unwilling to Suffer, and Gangsta Shit Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Yeah.
You can find me on social media under the same name. My Facebook is Antoine Inch Thomas. If you're trying to get a book or something, find my name, inbox me. I'm one who always communicates. Even me as a web series guy, I reached out to other people on web series. They never communicate. That's kind of crazy to me, but whatever their reasons are, whatever. But I try to communicate with everybody as often as I can. I usually don't miss a beat. Right now it's becoming a little overwhelming because there's a lot more people reaching out to me, but I always do my best. So 9 times out of 10, you hit me on Facebook under Antoine Inch Thomas, and you need a book or something, I will respond.
Definitely. And y'all should definitely subscribe to H48, the web series, on YouTube.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
We'll be in touch. I definitely want to get you back up here, man. It's a good convo with you, bro.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
You too, man.
You too.